Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in a child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Hour number two. So glad to have you with me. And I'm very excited to welcome my next guest to the program. He is running for Congress in the great state of Maryland. And I want to welcome Chris Heiser to the program. Chris, welcome. Good to have you.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we've got quite the battle that we're in between good and evil right now. I think probably more so than we've really ever experienced in our history as a nation. I mean, we certainly our founders felt as though they were fighting a pretty significant evil at one point, and they laid out their grievances in a Declaration of Independence. But right now, this is the greatest internal struggle that I think we've ever faced. What do you think, Chris?
I do agree. There's a lot of attacks from within. I think we've lost a lot of a unity here in the nation, and I think it has to stem from the lack of God being in our daily lives. So I think we need to bring that back. We need to bring a lot of integrity and justice back into our lives and bring God right.
Now, you have a motto, if you will, that is your campaign, which is the initials that spell out life. Talk to me about what Fighting for Life is about.
Life to me is an acronym for my campaign and also in my everyday life itself. L stands for liberty, and that's from a heavy-handed government that we're seeing be imposed with. We see that with the mask mandates and everything else. The integrity, to stand true to ourselves, our values, and our morals, and that's what I'm talking about, bringing God back into our lives. And then freedom to pursue anything we desire within a well-framed government. And what I'm referring to there is the back to blue and justice within our society. And then egalitarianism, so that all may succeed. And we are looking at the E and trying to find out the words, and equity has been used in so many wrong ways, and equality. So we went with egalitarianism because it encompasses it. I know there's some white papers out there about how this was used for Marxism or something, you know, along that line, but it's not in any way, shape, or form. It's just so that all may succeed. In this framework.
I'm glad you bring that up, because I had that listed as a question to ask you about, you know, so you could maybe help to define, because there is a difference between equality, which is an equal opportunity, versus equity, which is trying to basically fix the game or rig the game predicated on whatever the flavor might be, or however it is that you're deciding to rig the game, so to speak.
Exactly. I agree with that. And that's what has been hijacked. It's very fluid term these days. Instead of just saying everybody is equal, it's whatever suits the politics at this moment to where you stand equal. So if it benefits you because of your race, you want to benefit, it's equal then. But then the next day, if it's because of your skin color, not your race, it's that. Or if it's your religion. So it's a fluid, very fluid word in these days that we're seeing around our country.
Well, I mean, just as an example, the new chief of staff, or joint chief of staff. Hang on, let me pull this up, because this as a Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine. Military and veterans, and I'm a veteran myself, so it matters to us. Let's see, Joint Chief in so the new Joint Chief of Staff Brown has a policy where he has said that he wants to reduce the number of white officers and white enlisted to 43%.
Okay, forget about being qualified. So we're just going to go for the appearance. And that's what disturbs me, because I saw how that was back in the 1990s with the law enforcement when I became a Maryland State Trooper. I believe D.C. was suffering from something along that, and they wanted to increase the number of minority police officers on there. And then you got the Dirty Dozen that served in there, and that was very corrupt, and they went for color rather than for quality and for ethics.
Well, and that seems to be, I mean, that's the whole issue with, you know, the idea of equity versus equality, right? Is that you're, you know, whether it's color or sexual orientation or religious preference or what have you, there's a standard that really doesn't have anything to do with meritocracy, which is how our system is built.
Exactly. We believe in one thing one day, and the next day, like I say, it's very fluid. It's what appeases the masses at the time. We're answering too much to the mob justice these days than we are to our founding fathers and the way that this nation was formed.
So how do we get back to those original foundations when we have so many people? I mean, when you pull a lot of the younger population, a lot of them believe, in fact, that communism and Marxism is a good thing.
The reason they're believing that is because we're what do you say, whitewashing. I don't use that in the term as a color of a person, but whitewashing our history.
Right.
So because of that, if we don't keep history present and learn from it, we're going to revert back to it. So they're seeing the communism as they did, you know, almost 150 years ago. It was like, oh, well, this is the these illustrious societies where everybody's going to be equal and everything. But they don't see how we progressed in the last 100 years with Russia and with Germany, you know, being taken over, and then China. And we don't see how the communism affected those nations because we're blacking it out in history, and it's wrong to do so.
Well, I somehow ended up, now I know why. Andrew Tate. Ah, there we go. There's a perfect example. So because of the fact, this is my opinion, because of the fact that we no longer have strong, moral Christian leadership, we have individuals like Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate actually got into a conversation with Candace Owens and with a few others where he talks about why he left Christianity to embrace Islam, because he thought that Islam had better morals. That being said, I had a tweet that came across this morning talking about how, you know, basically the only reason that we got into the fight with Hitler was because the evil Jews tricked us into getting into that battle. So essentially, it's an old new Islamic lie to convince us that that the Holocaust was either didn't happen or was justified.
Well, that's a very fringe aspect of it. I believe in the masses, and I know the Holocaust happened. I know the reasons behind it. And if you actually study history, you're going to see what the reasons were. And it was Hitler's idea of the Aryan race dominating the world because he saw a certain power. Even though he didn't conform to it, he saw a certain liking, and he wanted his nation to be like that. Religion to the side, I don't believe he actually believed in God. He believed in creating it on a mankind. So to pull religion into the Holocaust, they went after an ethnic group at the time, and they were the Jews, and they also practiced Judaism. But to bring in other religions as a precursor to it, I think we're failing society when we start going down that path.
Well, and my point was just simply to talk, you know, to address the issue as you did regarding, you know, the changing in history, the subjective use of history as a means to coerce the populations into doing what you want them to do. It's the same thing with the critical race theory, the idea that, you know, we're born with a particular bias and we're going to hate one another. And the idea there is again to break down the conscience. The same thing with the grooming indoctrination and breaking down. You know, when you start using, I forget his name right now, but the guy that did all of the sex experiments on infants and children.
Right. And it's
Kinsey.
Kinsey. Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that study or with that. But if you look at this with the CRT and everything, when they talk about everybody's born into this, these are people who have not gone to a playground. When you see the multiple races sitting in there playing, and they call each other their best friends, mm-hmm. and it's not until they get older and hear from their parents how I should hate this one or hate this one because they did this, and then it becomes taught rather than learned. We're all born with that in our DNA to accept everybody. It's only learned behavior that erases that from our personalities and from, you know, from society.
Well, and you know, and as you said, it's subjective because now you're allowing man to be the one to determine. And when you go back to what you have talked about with life and integrity and freedom and even egalitarianism, if man is the one who determines what those values are equal to, then it becomes subjective, and we really don't have freedom, and we really don't have liberty, because the only way we have liberty is if we recognize that it's a God-given thing, not something that man can take from us.
Right, and that's what we have to do. We have to do a lot of soul searching, and we have to search. It's part of our memory bank that we do not really remember. It's that anywhere from 1 up to 5. We don't really have a cohesive understanding of what our brains are going through, but we have to be able to reach deep into our souls and find that part of it, because we were all born with that. When I was going through my chaplaincy, they talked about this as scenarios where if a man was born on a desert island and had no experience with the Bible or with the Quran or with the Torah or any other religious text, he would act in a manner that is consistent as if he had read that. It would only be until he came to society to where he would know that his actions he needs to adjust his actions to fit society rather than what he was born with in his innate nature to, you know, be respondent to God.
Well, I think the issue there has to do with, you know, how we put God into a box. And you know, people will say, well, you know, how will God hold accountable a tribe that's never heard the gospel? And I love, there's a story about a missionary, and this was back in the days when they used to use the olive skin as the paper, the really thin, you know, paper that they used to use. And so this missionary had gone into an area to a group of people that had never heard the gospel, and they set up camp, and there was a concern that they, you know, that they were known to be pretty vicious and violent and so on and so forth. Well, one of their members came into the camp, and she had opened up her Bible, and they grabbed it, and they saw the onion papered, the onion skin paper. And so they grabbed her, and they took her off into this temple thing that they had created. And there was a piece of paper like the onion skin, and on it, it basically prophesied that there would be someone who would be coming to tell them and lead them into the truth. And they were like, you're the one. We, you know, and so we, I mean, it's mind blowing, right? It's like, you know, wow. But yes. I mean, we need to understand that, you know, just like the word of God says, he says, look, if you won't proclaim me, I'll make the rocks rise up and do it. God's not limited in his ability to be able to reach us. You know, you think about all the stories that are going on right now about imams that are having visions of Jesus Christ coming to them, and they are converting to Christianity by the thousands, by the way.
Yeah, see, that's a lot of people ask me about that, because I studied all three religions when I was going through. I studied Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And a lot of fallacies believe, they say that the Muslims believe strictly in the Prophet Muhammad, and the Christians believe in Jesus Christ. What they fail to understand is that the Muslims hold Jesus Christ near and dear to their heart. They know he existed, and they believe in the second coming. So to cut and paste those little aspects of it, they don't understand the true aspects of the three religions and how they're related to each other.
Well, the other piece to that, too, is that, I mean, there is no question that Islam has within it a belief system that, you know, leads to the Coptic Christians having their heads cut off, members of churches that I oversee being attacked by Muslims, Christians in India. That is a part of it. But also, I have friends in Africa, and again, same thing, where the girls are being taken and there's a whole lot of that going on. But there's also pastors who are able to talk to them and point to scriptures that talk about the fact that they wrote and said, this is who Jesus is. And so there is an ability to reach. And you know, it's kind of difficult for us to wrap our minds around the duality of that, I think.
Agreed. And a lot of that has to go with the uneducated mind listening to somebody that is educated, and that educated person taking advantage of the masses. And that's where we see with these churches and everything being attacked, is because they're being told one thing by an imam or by their pastor. Even, you know, there's been churches and there's been Catholics that have attacked, and there's been Hindus that attacked the Muslims and Christians across the country and across the world. And it's because they are uneducated people, and they're listening to one person's interpretation of any type of scripture, and they're going against that because they're being told to by that individual, and they don't really have the understanding themselves. So it all comes in educating these communities.
Well, and I think at the end of the day, though, we do recognize that there is only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. There is no other way to heaven except Christ.
When I went into the studying of these religions, I believed that 100%. And on the Christian side of it, I see it's how it's very galvanized, and that's how it's got to be. But to understand Jews and the Muslims and Hindus and behind the Taoists, they believe that their path is correct. And to watch them, if you were to see the purism within their religions, and if they're acting the same way as a Christian who believes in Jesus Christ, exact identical, you know, they're taking care of people, they're giving charity, they're feeding people, they're housing people. How is that any different? And because if they didn't know about Jesus Christ, will they suffer the hellfires, even though they are mimicking 100% of what a Christian that believes in Jesus Christ does?
And the answer to that is found in Matthew 7, where they said, Lord, you know, we did all these good works, and he says, I never knew you. That's the answer. It's very plain. I minister over Skype, but I minister to Hindus and to Sikh by the thousands in India. We've planted over 1,000 churches since 2019 in Punjab, which is one of the most difficult areas to reach in all of India. And we've got revival. Yeah, we've got revival happening over there. And it has a large part to do with the fact that they are seeing, not only are they receiving Jesus Christ, but they're seeing manifest evidence of the signs and wonders that he talks about in Mark chapter 16. In every one of our meetings, we have salvation and we have mass amounts of healings.
Right. And I attribute some of that to the uneducated as well, to where they're finding out more information is different what they are. They're feeling empowered with it and moving with it. But for me, I think it's important for the religions to accept the other religions, because that is their path. And I don't think you could be steered wrong if you're doing the exact same thing one after another, and it's just a title of Christian.
I have to disagree with you, Chris. I absolutely have to disagree with you. There's one path. And as Christians, our responsibility is to lead people to that path, to pat somebody on the head and say, that's okay, you believe what you want to believe. I'm not saying they can't believe it. They're welcome to believe it. But if we don't warn them that by believing that that path is going to lead them to hell, then their blood is on our hands. And I won't have any. That's not a matter of interpretation. Chris, it's not a matter of interpretation. It's exactly what the scripture said. Either you believe that the Holy Bible is true and inerrant, or you don't.
Okay. Now, under if you look at Judaism, so are you saying that if they're Jews, and that's the foundation of Christianity, is the Abrahamics, so are the Jews going to hellfire?
Well, according to what the scripture indicates, they're going to go through the same judgment that we're going to go through. Now, do I believe that they're in replacement?
Right, I think they'll go through the judgment.
Hang on. Do I believe in replacement theology? No, I don't. I still believe that God has chosen the Jewish people, and if they are adhering to and orthodox in their belief system, then I think that at a point there's going to be that opportunity for them to make that decision to recognize the Messiah. But remember that even Paul says, you know, I love my Jewish brethren, but I wish that they would come to understand the truth so that they would accept Yeshua as Messiah.
Okay, now can a person follow the Psalms alone in the Bible and be pure?
Well, if scripture is accurate in how sin entered into the world, then all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so,
but Psalms is a good one to believe in. If you believe that and you follow the Psalms themselves, that would make you a good Christian.
All what is it, 136 Psalms?
Yes. If you try to live your life in accordance with the higher level of the Psalms taken into consideration, then you'd be a good Christian.
So Paul writes with regards to that, and he says, when he writes in Galatians 2:20, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And he goes on to talk about that if I'm saved by works, then Christ died in vain. And I don't believe that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price and die on the cross in vain. He wouldn't, the God that I know wouldn't send Jesus to die on that cross and then say, oh, but by the way, that really wasn't necessary because everybody's going to get in predicated on their own belief system. And Paul even specifically argues against that. When he went into Corinth, he talked about, I went into your temple and I looked at all of your gods and I found that you have a God that you do not know. So let me introduce you to him. I find it contradictory to believe, again, that God would send his Son to die on the cross for no reason. Paul argues against that for multiple causes. He even argues against that in Hebrews. If you read the book of Hebrews, Hebrews is the argument that was made because you had Jews that were going back to Judaism, so to speak, because they were questioning whether or not Christ's sacrifice was sufficient. And so Paul theologically argues the superiority of the sacrifice of Christ and why it was superior, why he didn't, as an example, come out of the Levitical priesthood, but he came through the tribe of Judah, why it was that he was born of a virgin, all of the aspects of that, and why he had to be both man and divine in order for him to be able to accomplish it, because he had to be a complete sinless sacrifice in order to undo the sin of Adam. Now, if God was unjust, then he wouldn't be giving every single mankind person the opportunity to be able to make that choice and make that decision. And so I guess my answer then, going back to whether it's the Jewish question or the Hindu question or the Muslim question or just the average Joe question, the reality is, and just like he says in Deuteronomy, I set before you life and death. Choose life, knowing, and this goes also rolls into what Paul writes when he says, why do they hesitate? Why hasn't he come back yet? Well, he hasn't come back yet because God's heart is that all of mankind would accept Christ and accept the work on the cross. But will they? No.
What level of acceptance of Christ will Christians such as yourself accept? I mean, Judeo-Christians
Hold the phone. The decision here, Chris, and the standard is not set by man. The decision and the standard is clearly written in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. And either we accept what this book says. And so what does this book say you have to do in order to go to heaven? What do you have to do?
You have to accept Jesus Christ. And where you're wrong about one thing is Christians accept Jesus Christ. Jews, Judeo-Christians, accept Jesus Christ, and so do Muslims. Muslims believe 100% in Jesus Christ and the second coming.
Okay,
so
hold the phone.
They're not going to be going to heaven because
okay. And again, Paul writes about that too, because Paul says that even the demons acknowledge Jesus, and even the demons acknowledge God. That doesn't mean the demons get saved. The profession is a repentance of sin to God on the basis of the sacrifice of Yeshua.
Well, I would not do that because they believe in Jesus Christ.
Well, but believing in and calling him Lord and Savior are two different issues.
Well,
it's not man's. That's what the scriptures say. We're out of time. We're over time. I got to get my next guest. Hey, awesome conversation. Enjoy it. Love chopping it up, and we'll do it again. Chris, thanks for being with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care. God bless you. Bye bye. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you are my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.
There we go. And welcome back to Children Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Well, folks, I hope that you enjoyed that little theological conversation, which is an important one, by the way, that I just had with the chaplain talking about who gets to heaven and who doesn't. And that's, again, why I play it, I believe, too. But just to be clear, Jesus Christ makes it clear. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It doesn't matter. You can say, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, but have you made him the Lord of your life? Have you asked God to forgive you of your sins and made him the Lord of your life? Because unless you've made that decision, you can believe in aliens and fairy dust. That ain't going to get you there. So that's why I hung on to the conversation and I wanted to have it and I didn't want to let it just sit. But that's, unfortunately, that's what's happening to a lot of the chaplaincy programs. They are teaching that there are multiple ways and everybody gets to go as long as they're just a good person. And that's not what Scripture says. Our works are as filthy rags. All right, my next guest, I'm so pleased to have him back with me. He is I'm going to say Commodore, but that's
close.
Yeah, he's the man, the myth, and the legend. What can I say? He is El Conservador, George Rodriguez. George, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Absolutely. It's always a joy to have you. It's always great to see you. Well, I'm really glad. It was a good conversation, but I had to make sure that that the theological line was in the right place, because I don't want to be, as I told him, I don't want to be responsible. I don't want blood on my hands for somebody that doesn't fully understand the facts. And the path to heaven is only through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's very, very interesting to hear liberals and leftists. Well, liberals more than any. Leftists are just communists. But to hear left liberals carry on about how religion is more in the heart and it's about their morality, the morality of whatever a person feels is critical or important to them. They just don't seem to understand that life is tough. Life has rules. God has placed these rules on earth. And, if they don't believe in God who they can't see, or better yet, let me rephrase that. If they don't believe in the laws that men have placed in front of them, how are they going to believe the laws of God that they don't see?
Well, the to me, if you're fighting for liberty, and remember that our founding documents talk about inalienable rights that belong to us: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have to understand who the author of those things are.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we truly have to know the God of the Bible is the one who is the author of those, and that he has put those things in us. They're not even held out in his hand for us to choose. They're in us. They're a part of who we are, and especially our founders understood in their profession of Christ that Jesus Christ purchased their freedom, their liberty from sin. Jesus Christ purchased their life and gave it meaning and gave it value. And that is, it's significant to understand that it's only through Christ that we really have true freedom, true liberty, and a true, a fervent understanding of what life really is and the value of life, because Jesus Christ laid his life down for us.
I couldn't agree more. You know, this whole situation that we've got right now with the border crisis, with millions of people having come into the United States, millions of them who have cultures that are very, very different from us. The issue is not race. The issue is not ethnicity. The issue is not even gender. The issue is culture. The issue is the influence of religion and faith on cultures. You have cultures like in Afghanistan that have been around forever. Yet how much progress have they ever made? And directly related to that is the issue of religion, of faith, of how much the faith and the religion encourages individual growth, individual development, in that culture. We in the United States have been blessed, and many, many of my friends of color, as they call themselves, freak out when I say this, but I am so thankful that the Western European Christian culture was brought to the United States and given to the natives of this country, to the Mexican Tejanos or whatever they want to call themselves here in this country, mm-hmm. that everybody that has come to this country has been able to partake of that, because that is what has allowed them to blossom and grow.
Elevated.
It's elevated them because it lifts your behavior. And when you lift your behavior because of the Spirit, because God is able to bless you, then by definition, the country prospers. On the other hand, you know, you've got the Soviet Union that look at the way that it ended up.
Yeah.
Why? You know, it's obvious.
Well, and continues, you know, places like Russia and the CCP and Iran, yes. and Cuba and so on. They continue Brazil, Venezuela now. I mean, they've all moved in that totalitarian, authoritarian direction. And unfortunately, that's what we're fighting here. In the United States. I mean, it is that same kind of tyranny that's taking place in our country today. And it's cool to see that there's individuals that are waking up, like, for example, the mayor there in Dallas. Talk to me a little bit about what we know about the change of heart of the mayor of Dallas.
Well, I contrast him with the mayor of San Antonio, who is in completely the opposite direction. The mayor of Dallas was speaking openly about a year ago the need to support the police officers. Now, you look at him, and he is a black politician, which was very, very, I mean, it's very, very unusual for a lot of these black politicians to speak up in support of the police because it's mm-hmm. popular to be against the police. Mm-hmm. And here he was doing exactly that. The crime in Dallas has dropped, as opposed to other major communities like Baltimore, like Houston, yep. like San Antonio, where it's expanded and grown. And he makes it very, very clear that it's bad behavior that creates crime, sure. and you must punish bad behavior. You can't tolerate it. You can't excuse it and say, well, it's because they weren't properly potty trained or whatever.
You mean spare the rod, you spoil the child? Is that what you're
saying? You know, that's another one. All of these truisms that we used to hear from our grandparents, they're true. Yep. That's why they call them truisms. And so, you know, you've got here in San Antonio the complete opposite, where we've got a George Soros DA who is constantly berating the police because they violate the civil rights of criminals. Well, I got news for you. The criminals are violating the civil rights, not to mention the peace and tranquility of our communities.
Yeah.
But he cares more about that. And this is the situation again. Let me emphasize, Pastor Young, that the situation is behavior, personal, private behavior. Everyone has choices. We know lots of poor people. We know lots of minorities. I was born in public housing in Laredo, Texas. And my parents, from day one, you've got to do it. I have succeeded. You have many people that have succeeded.
Sure.
It's not the issue of race and gender or ethnicity or whatever. It is your ability to behave, work within the rules, and prosper. God cannot bless someone who is not
bad behavior. Right. Yeah. Right. Well, what did he say? He says he chastises those whom he loves.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? The same thing is true when it comes to us and our own children. And that's, you know, that's one of the weaknesses that we have in our culture today, unfortunately, is that we have parents that are excusing their child's bad behavior and refuse to acknowledge the truth or a fact when their child misbehaves. They don't confront them.
Exactly. How many times have you been in a restaurant where you watch a parent try to negotiate with a child? I mean, it's incredible. They try to talk to the child as if the child was an adult, as if the child has something to invest in their life right now. They are children. That's why God put them under our care. But, you know, we've got this liberal approach where you're supposed to teach the children to work, to be addressed with dignity. You know, I mean, let's face it. Life is tough. Again, well, I'll get back to that. Life is tough. And not everybody's going to address you with dignity every day. And if you expect that, you're going to be so disappointed. And I think that's 90% of the problem is these people keep expecting something that's going to disappoint them. That's why whenever they don't get their way, they scream, they yell, they carry on. You know, it's immaturity and it's insecurity that we have bred into a lot of the kids nowadays.
Oh, it's there's no question. And you know, I think the other part of it too, George, is that we're born. Remember that we are born in sin. Yeah. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, we are ultimately born with a nature that is going to choose selfish behavior. You take 2 2-year olds and you put them in a room with one toy, and one of those kids is going to be crying, and it's very likely that they may end up having a few marks on their face or a bite mark on their arm or something like that. Exactly. I mean, it's just nature.
This situation where you know, I remember the words of Robert Kennedy. Because they were always perplexing to me. Everybody was applauding him, but he used to say that he looked at life, and most people ask why. He asked why not. Well, you know, the reason why not, Robert Kennedy, is that life is tough. Again, we get back to that. Not everybody's going to treat you with dignity. Nobody's going to give you what you want. You have to work for it. And the more that you keep expecting, giving false hopes and expectations to people, the worse it is. The Dallas mayor is classic of that. And we have other folks like that. Classic that he doesn't expect anything other than good behavior. And that's, you know, what's wrong with that?
Right. Right. Absolutely. I expect people to live up to it. We got a few minutes left. I want to get into, we were talking a little bit about in the green room about the Ken Paxton and his acquittal. Give me your thoughts with regards to that. There was a 58-2 vote by Republican leadership that Dade Phelan should step down, and quite frankly, in my opinion, not just step down, but he needs to step out. He ought to just resign that seat, and they ought to give it to somebody else. And I think Andrew Murr needs to do the same thing. But your thoughts regarding that?
I am very, very sad to see the Republican Party fighting with itself. And I'm very, very sad to see that this whole Paxton inquiry, this whole impeachment reached the point that it did. I see the fingerprints of Democrats in the background, but I see a lot of folks who played along with them. A lot of Republicans have played along with them. I think that this point, rather than Phelan worrying about what Paxton's got to say, I think what he ought to do is worry about the battle that he's got going with the governor,
Abbott.
No, with the second in command.
Lieutenant Dan Patrick.
Yes,
with Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
That's what he's got to worry about. I think, and that's what we have to worry about. I think that that's going to be a much more bloodier. I think that Paxton is going to be the gentleman that he is, and he's going to back off, and he's just going to continue doing his work like he always has done, very effective work against the Biden administration. But I think the battle is now going to be between Dan Patrick and Phelan, and it's liable to get very, very nasty.
Well, I think Dan Patrick laid down the law in that closing statement, and I think he was absolutely correct. He was absolutely right. And I think the fact that Phelan has doubled down, I'll tell you another guy, and I posted about this, by the way, over the weekend on my Facebook page. Adam Kinzinger has decided to move to Texas and throw his hat in the ring, and is apparently gunning for Attorney General Ken Paxton. I put a picture of him on my Facebook page, and I said, since he has decided to declare he's going to go after Ken Paxton, I don't know what that means. But anyone who sees him in Texas should report him to local authorities and let people know where he is, because he's dangerous. He's a traitor to this country, and he's a traitor to Texas. He doesn't belong here. There's no reason for him to be in Texas. He needs to go somewhere else, but he needs to be reported to local law authority for making threats against the Attorney General of the state of Texas, and his location needs to be identified so that law enforcement can investigate what exactly those intentions are.
True. I mean, you know, this situation of having so much animosity and hate towards Ken Paxton, it's not healthy. I mean, if you feel that way, seek help, talk to your pastor, pray about it, do 50 push-ups, do something. But that kind of intense dislike for the Attorney General, it's not healthy. And again, tell me what he's done wrong,
right,
defending the state better than any attorney general ever has.
Well, and let's be very clear. We're in our final minute here, but let's be very clear. And I want to restate this again. Attorney General Ken Paxton had a citizen of Texas come to him and say, I am being unjustly prosecuted by a federal agency. Ken Paxton went to his office and said, we should be able to do something about that. As the Attorney General of the state of Texas, I should have the ability to start an investigation about what the federal government is doing to citizens of Texas. And let's not forget that it was the FBI that came into Texas and kicked down doors and took innocent people and is still holding them in a gulag as prisoners of war in Washington, D.C. They were kidnapped by the federal government, and Ken Paxton was about to begin an investigation to find out about that and uncover truths about that, and individuals in his office went to the FBI and said, oh my gosh, Ken Paxton is going to investigate you and you better do something about it, and we're with you. You're with the agency that has kidnapped Texans. Those of you that stood with Ken Paxton on that stand, you need to leave Texas. And I mean now. I mean now. Pack your damn suitcase and get out. Get out. George, God bless you. Thanks for being with me. I appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you for inviting me.
You betcha. My sincere pleasure. Texas Fully Loaded coming up right now. Stay tuned.